We're turning to the book of Hebrews and to the chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to read this portion of God's word together this morning. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is the sceptre of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years fail not. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And we know that God will bless this reading from his own precious word this morning. We're living in a world that is heading for the arrival of the Antichrist and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Evil and mayhem is all over the world as we look out and see it on our TV screens and in the newspapers today. And there's two signs, of course, in Scripture of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 17. As it was in the days of Noah. And what was the world like in Noah's days? Everybody did that which was right in their own sight. And is that not the world that you and I are living in today? Everybody says, I have a right. I must do what I want to do, regardless of anybody else. And then we have, as it was in the days of Lot. And what was the sin in the days of Lot but Sodomites? And what is our world coming till today but a world of Sodomites seeking power and seeking to destroy the gospel of saving grace? And you know, as we live in it and we look at the country, we look at what happened when marriage was destroyed by David Cameron and his two cohorts, the Labour and the Liberal man. And we see that the judgment of God is now upon the land because of that. The three men are gone, or Cameron will be gone shortly. The other two went at the election. And we see mayhem in the Labour Party and in the Conservative Party. And we look at what's going on. And you know, I find that there is a lot of people today and they're worried. And they don't know what's coming next. And they're scared. And even God's children, a lot of them are saying, It's a terrible world to live in. What's going to happen in the future? How are we going to cope? Well, there is one thing I can tell you. It's going to get worse. God's word teaches us that there is going to be tremendous tribulation before the Lord returns. And you know, you and I that are saved by God's grace, we want to, in these days, begin to get ourselves in a position where we again trust God. And I want us to turn to the book of Hebrews, and I want us this morning to see Christ our Lord greater than, and realize that the God that we worship is the God that is still in control of the affairs of this old world. I want us to look at this book of Hebrews and see how the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, teaches the Jewish Christians the superiority of Christ our Lord to everything that has gone before or will happen in the future. And it also meant to teach that the great Lord and Savior that we worship today is the sovereign God of all eternity. The great God of heaven, the second person of the Trinity. You know, we seem to, in this day and age, have lost the majesty, the might, the superiority of Christ and who he is and what he has done and what he is doing even in this day and age in which you live. Now, we have 13 points this morning, so you'll be home for your tea in the afternoon. And don't worry about the beef burning. We'll be out. You'll be out in time. But I want us just to go through quickly the book of Hebrews and see what the Bible teaches us. First of all, in the chapter 1, we have greater than the angels and the prophets. In verse 4, we have being so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then in the verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And here we have, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And here we have the Bible and we have the Holy Spirit teaching us that Christ is greater than the angels that are in heaven, greater than the prophets that have gone before. And in the verse 7 and 8 that we read there, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of thy righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And what tremendous words we have in verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years faileth not. And here we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. He was there at the beginning when the earth was created by the Word of God. He was there with the Father and with the Holy Spirit when the earth was brought into being. And he will be there when all has passed away. Christ will still be upon the throne in the heavens. What a tremendous thing it is that we can have this morning a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is far above the angels and the prophets. Then if we go to chapter 2, we find that he's greater than Adam. The verses 6 till 8. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he must put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Adam, the first man of whom we are descendants, was the first born, made sinless, placed in that beautiful garden, given a command of God, and disobeyed God's command and brought the judgment of God and the death into the world, and that we know today. And you know, there is many people today, and they'll say, why does God allow people to be slaughtered? Why does God allow people to die with famine? My dear friend, it was Adam's sin, disobedience to the command of God, that brought the judgment of God upon the world. And when we see the funeral service, or when you see the hearse going along the road, we realize that as a result of the judgment of God upon the sin of our first parents. But we see Jesus, and we see the Lord Jesus Christ, that he by the grace of God should taste death. And we get that picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, taking upon him a body like unto our body, becoming a man, a real man, living a life perfect on our behalf, going to the cross of Calvary, shedding his precious blood. And that man of Calvary is greater than Adam, even in his perfect days, ever was. Man born of Adam's race. And many today who profess salvation, what do? They worship themselves. I becomes the most important person, as we said earlier. The church becomes the focus of our worship. The family becomes more important than anything else. Let us get our priorities right. Christ first, all else in its place. Then we go to chapter 3, and we find here the Holy Spirit teaching us that Christ is greater than Moses. For this man was counted, verse 3 of chapter 3, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built up the house hath more honor than the house. Moses rolled back the Red Sea. Moses did great things in his day. He led God's people out of Egypt. But all that Moses did, God tells us that Christ is superior. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. My dear friend, this morning, let's get this picture in our mind of Christ far above all. Not hanging on a Roman cross, but exalted in heaven, living in the presence of the eternal God of heaven, greater than Moses. And then if we go to chapter 4, we find there that he's greater than Joshua. Because in the verse 8 of chapter 4, it tells us, for of Jesus, and if you have a Bible with the margin, it tells us that is Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. This man, Jesus, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day. Joshua led the people of Israel into the promised land. He was a great leader of God's people in the days that are past. God's chosen people had been led out of Egypt. They were in the wilderness. Moses had sinned and wasn't allowed to take them in, and God raised up Joshua and he led the people into the promised land. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great leader of his chosen people. And God chose the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior of his people. And my dear friend, this morning, there is a day coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to lead his people into heaven. If you're here today and you're saved by God's grace, you will know that you're a Christian, that you're born again, you're a child of God, and the moment that you die, you will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did for you upon the cross of Calvary. Nothing to do with you or me. Nothing to do with the church. But it's what Christ did for us. And what a tremendous thing is. Whether the Lord returns, the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those that remain shall be caught up to be with him, or whether we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. What a tremendous Savior we have. What a tremendous Christ that we have. We need to get this picture in our mind of what Christ is and who he is and what he means to those of us that are saved by God's grace. In chapter 5, we read that he's greater than Aaron. In chapter 5 and verse 4, it tells us, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." And that was the priesthood. And verse 6, "And he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And we have here the picture of Christ as our high priest. What a tremendous thing it is that we have a high priest. You see, those of us that are saved are priests. But Christ is our high priest. When the old tabernacle was on earth, there was a veil. And no one but the high priest could go in behind the veil into the presence of Christ. But thank God this morning, each one of us that's saved can get down on our knees, and through Christ we can enter in through the veil into the Holy of Holies. We can come to our eternal Heavenly Father and we make our wants and wishes known unto him. We have a right. We have a privilege to be able to come right into the very presence of the eternal God of heaven. And chapter 7 and the verse 23, "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." You know, here we have Christ as the great high priest, making intercession on behalf of his people. And you know, if you're not saved this morning, then you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sin. You need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to come and get into Christ and have him as your Savior and as your great high priest. Greater than Aaron, the greatest priest, the high priest. And then we have in chapter 8 and the verse 6, he's greater than the covenant of works. "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. You see, the old covenant was established. It was a type of the new covenant that was to come. And everything that the sacrifices that were in Israel and all those things pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the new covenant that he would come. The covenant of grace provided by Christ at his birth. By his birth, by his life, by his death, by his resurrection and ascension to heaven on behalf of the saved of the Lord. What a tremendous thing that we have today. A covenant of grace that brings us nigh to God and into his presence. And thank God we should praise the Lord Jesus every moment of every day. When we waken in the morning, we should thank God and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for saving us and for going to the cross of Calvary for us. In the chapter 9 and the verse 2, we have there greater than the tabernacle. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. The old tabernacle. Now there's a new tabernacle, verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The old tabernacle and all the rites that went with it were all pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a tremendous thing it was. If you remember the veil of the temple, and when God wanted to teach the Israelites that there was they were separated from God by their sin, they only had to look at the veil of the temple, and they couldn't pass beyond it. And my dear friend, you and I that were born of Adam's wraith, what was sin in our lives, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We are separated from God by our sin. And you know, there are so many people today, and it is sad, and they're depending upon their church, and they're depending upon their good works and their good living to get them to heaven. And let me tell you this, they will never enter God's heaven on those conditions. There is only one door into heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. There is no other way. Now, of course, some people depend on their baptism, and baptism is important. Someone gave me a baptismal service of a church there the other day that they were at, the baptism of a child, and we already, of course, know of baptismal regeneration, but when you see it actually in writing, and I'm going to read it to you, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ claims you for his own. Receive the sign of the cross. Live as a disciple of Christ. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Confess Christ crucified. Proclaim his resurrection. Look for his coming and glory. God hath called you into his church. We therefore receive and welcome you as a member with us of the body of Christ. Now, did you get that? We welcome you as a member with us of the body of Christ, as a child of the one heavenly Father and as an inheritor of the kingdom of God. Nowhere in the Bible that you have before you today is that found. And there are so many people, good people, upright people, moral people, and they're depending upon their baptism to bring them to heaven. But the Bible says baptism does not save you, but Christ saves you. The first tabernacle, Christ became a high priest of good things to come. Greater than in chapter 10, greater than the law. In verse 1 it tells us, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And down then in verse 9 it tells us, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And Christ is greater than the sacrifices that we talked about, and of the priesthood, and of the ceremonial law that was in place in the Old Testament. They were just a shadow of the good things to come. But you know, the Ten Commandments, God's law, is still in existence. Some people will tell you today, oh, we're not under the law of God. We're under grace. In other words, what they're saying to you, I can do whatever I want to do because I'm saved by grace. That is nonsense. The law of God is still God's standard. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's possessions. And that law, the Ten Commandments, is still the law of God today. But the old ceremonial law that the children of Israel had is gone. And Christ is the one now that we deal with. And then in chapter 9, we have greater than the saints of the Old Testament. Chapter 11. And we have there a list of all the saints gone past. Now faith is the substance, or things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, verse 4, Abel. Verse 5, by Enoch, and Noah, and Abraham, and Isaac. And right down we have the whole of the Old Testament saints. But then what happens? We come to chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, or the beginner of and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. And here we have that, taking all the mass of the good people that were the children of God in the days that are past, and some of them did tremendous work for God, but Christ is greater than the saints of the Old Testament. Why? Because he died on the cross of Calvary, and they were saved through his blood and righteousness by looking forward to the coming of the Messiah and the coming of Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end. And you know, my dear friend, this morning, are we not getting a picture in this book of the might and the majesty of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Then in chapter 13, the last chapter, we have Christ greater than our problems. And you know, this affects everybody. In the verse 5, it says, let your conversation, chapter 13, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Those are tremendous words. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, saved by the grace of God, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And in the verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so, you and I that are God's children, we're not to fear what man can do unto us. Why? Because we have a greater than man dwelling within us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has promised to be with us in every situation in life. Now that doesn't mean that you won't have problems. You will have problems. Unless you're a space cadet. And you know, there is odd people in the world, and if the roof blew off their house on a stormy night, they'll be turning around and saying to the wife, would you make me a cup of coffee and get me slippers? I'm going to go to my bed. They don't realize the enormity of the fact that the roof has gone off the house. My dear friend, there is people living in this world, and they're the same position as regarding problems. But each one of us knows that we all have problems in life. Death comes to our family circle. Sickness comes to our family circle. Trouble comes in all shapes and form. But what does the Bible teach us here? Christ has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will be with us in the valley as well as on the mountain top. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. And when we look at the situation around us in the world today, let us look up and not look down. You see, if you look down, all you'll ever see is your feet and the ground below you. But if you look up, you'll see the sun. And you'll see the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Lord. And then in that same chapter, the verses 12 and 13, he's greater than the dead churches and the apostasy of our day. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And what are we being taught here? We're being taught that the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he was on earth, was separated from the world around him. And we need to be separated from the religions, the false religion of the world, the false cults, the pleasures of the world must be avoided by the saved of the Lord. You know, sometimes it's like the wee fellow that fell out of bed. You've heard it maybe often. His dad said to him, son, how did you fall out of bed? He says, I lay too near the edge. And you know, that's what happens with a lot of Christians sometimes. They want to live as near the world as they can. But you know, if we're saved by God's grace, we need to forget about the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the Bible says. God says, and all religion that is not Bible-based is false. The Muslims, of course, are increasing at a tremendous rate, taking over. News, a reporter on the TV some time ago in America, when he saw the Pope coming along, he says, here comes Jesus. And the world is being taken over by people who are totally against it, and we need to be separated. And here we have Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. We need to stand up in these days for the truth of the gospel. Not be ashamed of it. To take our stand and say, we believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son. We believe in the triune God. We believe in creation. We believe that man's a sinner, that he's lost and he needs a Savior, and Christ will save him if he comes. What a tremendous thing it is for you and I to have a Savior who we can point others to in these days. because men and women out there, our friends, our relations, our loved ones, are blinded by the devil to the fact that they personally are sinners and they personally are separated from God. And they need a Savior. And if you're not saved this morning, it's time you were saved. What happens if you die before the day is out? Oh, you say, I'm too young to die. I'm only a young fella, young girl. I'm only middle-aged. But my dear friend, when the call comes, it comes in God's time, not your time. You know, the doctors and nurses can preserve life. And they do a great job, and we can look after our bodies unto the time that God has appointed. And God says, your time's up. And if that came today and you're not saved, you'd be absent from the body, and you'd be straight unto the lake of fire. But for those of us that are saved, because we have this great Christ in our hearts, we will be with Christ. And lastly, and we're finished, chapter 13 and the verse 20, the greatest shepherd that ever lived. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. My dear friend, this morning, we have a tremendous Savior. And here we have at the very end of the book, the Lord is my shepherd. David could say, I shall not want. What comfort to have Jesus as our guide, our leader, our protector, always looking out for us as we journey through life. Is Jesus your shepherd? Is he Lord of your life? Then thank him every day. Do you thank God every day? Do you read God's word every day? Do you pray and meditate? Are you living maybe an empty profession with no change in your lifestyle? Well, if you're backslidden and you're away from the Lord, you've stopped reading the Bible, you've stopped praying, you are more interested sometimes in the world, the things of the world, then like David, confess your sin. He cried unto God, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me, on Psalm 51. And he received the blessing of God again. And you too can have that blessing of God in your life again if you come as a backslider to the Lord Jesus and confess your sin and ask him to forgive you. He'll do it. And I trust this morning that as we have looked at this, that you've got a picture of what or who Christ is and the greatness of Christ, that you and I need not be ashamed in these days to name the name of Christ, because we have the only one that is going to last through time, through eternity, and through all the ages to come. Christ will be upon the throne. He is in control of the world today. And all these things that are happening, he is allowing to happen for his purpose, that one day the trumpet will sound and the Lord Jesus Christ will descend and the graves will open. Those that are saved will rise from the dead, meet the Lord in the air along with those that are still alive and saved by God's grace. Let's rejoice. Let's thank God for all he has done for us. Let's